people, a church house filled with people, and voices lifted up in happy song. With music so inviting, so warm and so exciting, I had to enter in and sing along. And as I joined right with them, what harmony and rhythm, my heart was lifted up to heaven above. I felt like shouting glory when I heard the gospel story, those songs about my Jesus and his love. I love that good old gospel singing, happy gospel singing, ringing out so loud and clear. Like an angel choir, how it lifts me higher, making heaven seem so near. Come on and join right in the chorus, really saw the chorus, let the happy song prolong. Everybody sing it, make it ring until the whole world sings along. With voices lifted high, we sing sweet by and by, in rock of ages, that glory in me. We love to tell the story of Jesus and his glory, a lesson did my Savior bleed for me. We sing, Lord, send me all time power, I need thee every hour, and nothing but the blood can make me whole. Oh, happy, happy day, he washed my sins away, he's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. I love that good old gospel singing, happy gospel singing, ringing out so loud and clear. Like an angel choir, how it lifts me higher, making heaven seem so near. Come on and join right in the chorus, really saw the chorus, let the happy song go on. Everybody sing it, make it ring until the whole world sings along. Until the whole world sings along. Until the whole world.
Kristen Workington. I'm from Marion, Iowa, and I'm a sophomore studying music education.
Good evening. My name is Alyssa Bryant. I'm from Dwight, Illinois, and I'm a senior studying digital communications.
Hi, my name is Julia Borner. I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I'm a sophomore studying elementary education. And at the piano, we have Samantha Fumagas. She is from Elgin, Illinois, and she's a sophomore studying secondary education.
Hi, as I just said, my name is Kristen. I grew up in a Christian home, and I always thought that I would go to Bible college. But as I got older, I really struggled with making that decision because I really didn't have a desire to go to Bible college at all. It wasn't until the end of my senior year of high school the Lord spoke to my heart about Providence. It's when a group from Providence was actually at my church and presenting the college, and the Lord really spoke to my heart about going to Bible college. I've been there for the past year. And one thing that I really appreciate about Providence is the ministry opportunities. Every weekend, the students get to be involved in the ministries of the church, such as the bus ministry and soul winning and children's ministries. And if any of you are looking for a place just to learn and gain experience in the ministry, I'd recommend Providence.
Mine. All the world seems to see.
here on his horse shall I roam, but he's coming to take me some glorious day over there to my heavenly home. Constantly abiding, Jesus is mine. Constantly abiding, rapture divine. He never leaves me lonely, whispers on so kind, I will never leave thee. Jesus is mine. Jesus is mine.
All right, the ladies are going to finish the set with one last song, but in the meantime, I'm going to have all of our junior high to high school age students stand real quick. If you're a 7th through 8th or 12th grader and or just a recent graduate of high school, why don't you stand? We're going to get information cards out to you all, and you may have filled out one of these cards in the past, more than likely. Ladies, why don't you get those cards out to the people, and you guys can get started filling those out. But if you filled one of those out in the past, never fear. We're going to have a drawing this evening. We're going to have a drawing of maybe two or three of those cards, and you get a free music CD off the table there or a free college T-shirt. And so as soon as you get that, why don't you be seated and start filling that out. Make sure you put your right name down. We've had some celebrities fill out these cards before. Darth Vader is a common one. So may the Force be with you, of course. And, you know, Jim Shorts has often filled out cards and things like that. So make sure you put your name legibly down on these cards and your address, your email address, phone number, things like that. And we'll just make sure we have it on our mailing list. But I want to say a word of about the college. And obviously, this church endorses this college by allowing your pastor every week to come up for these many years to Providence Baptist College and train young people and be a part of that ministry. And every day of the week, we have pastors that participate and teach at the college. On Mondays and Wednesdays, Pastor Jeremy Houston teaches at the college, a graduate of Providence Baptist College, planted a church just 30 minutes north of us. On Tuesdays, Pastor Dan Woodward over in DeWitt comes up every Tuesday to teach for us. On Thursdays, of course, your pastor and Pastor Keith Harrison, a former member of this church as well, teaches at the college. And on Fridays this semester, we're going to have Brother Cecil Ballard driving over from Iowa to teach for us, and we're excited about that. And so we have great faculty, obviously, that pastors that come in, but even the resident staff as well, staff members at the church at Northwest, and then resident staff that teach at the college. Even some of the laymen in a church come over and teach. And you understand the importance of good laymen in a church. They are the workforce. They're the ones that make the church work happen. If it was just the pastor and his and the staff of the church, then half of what goes on in this place wouldn't actually take place. And so we even have some laymen that come in and teach the college students. But I want to tell you, young people, Bible College is a great opportunity. It's a great opportunity to grow up. It's a great opportunity to gain some independence in some areas. And several areas that I can think of, and this is just a personal testimony for me, how I found growing up to take place in Bible College. Number one, spiritually. Spiritually, you can grow up in Bible College. You don't really know what your spiritual condition is as a teenager until you get outside of that youth group bubble, if you will. You get outside of the influence of that youth pastor. You get outside that influence of your home pastor. And you get a little bit more independent in your spiritual responsibilities. You find out whether you're riding your parents' spiritual coattails or your pastor's spiritual coattails. And I certainly found that out in Bible College in a hurry. And I realized that it wasn't what it should have been. And I had to do some growing up spiritually in Bible College. Number two, you grow up financially in Bible College. For the first time in my life, I worked a full-time job and earned that paycheck. And I couldn't wait to get open that paycheck up only to find out I had to pay taxes. What are taxes about? So you had to do some growing up there too and actually be a contributor to society and then learn how to pay a bill and budget your money and realize that you shouldn't go to Taco Bell every day of the week like I did, all right? So you got to grow up financially as well. You got to grow up socially. you get thrust into a dorm room environment and you have to be able to cope with your roommates or enjoy your roommates. Whatever it might be, you've got to learn to deal with those dorm room issues. And especially with this, you realize that as a teenager, you've been narcissistic in many ways. In the youth group, it's all about the teenagers, all about the teens, going to teen camp like you are this week. It's for the teens. We're doing this for the teens, and this church is investing in the next generation. And if you're not careful as a teenager, you're going to be like, yeah, it's all about us, isn't it? Well, you get to Bible college, and you learn to grow up ministerially as well. You learn that it's not all about you. In fact, number one, it's about your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Number two, it's about the other people that are around you. It's your turn then to invest in others. It's your turn to invest in the kids that ride in those buses. And I hope that already some of you are realizing that and starting to invest in others as well. And so it's just a great opportunity to grow up ministerially. So I trust that many of you filled out the cards. So if you filled out one of those cards, why don't you wave it up in the air and wave it around like you just don't care, okay? And so the ladies will come collect those. And I'll just say another word of testimony. One of the things that I appreciate about Providence Baptist College as a staff member is this circle. It's this metaphorical circle, if you will. I grew up going to this church, and I grew up in the early days of my education, getting on a bus every morning here on this campus and taking a 45-minute drive over to Dwight, Illinois, where I was educated from first through third grade. And it was in first grade that Brother Woodward got up and preached a Christian school chapel. I raised my hand for salvation. My teacher dealt with me later at recess, and I got saved over there. It was then at this church that I was baptized. And then at Northwest, the influence of so many people up there. And it was at, you know, basketball tournaments where I got to be introduced to so many pastors that are still influencing me today. Pastor Woodward, Brother Angel, Brother Harrison, Brother Ballard as well, the men I've already mentioned and spoke about. It's the same sphere, the same circle of influence that influenced me all my life that I still get to be a part of. And it is truly a privilege to be a part of a ministry that is within this sphere, a circle of influence. So teenagers, understand, if you come to Providence Baptist College, you're just going to get more of the same. You're going to get more of the same. If you're looking for a ministry that is the same ministry philosophy as this place, you're going to find it at Providence Baptist College. And that's what I've got to say about that. And I hope you consider Providence and stop by the table if you have any questions. Ask me or my wife or any of the girls. If you have any questions about the college, I'd be happy to answer those for you. So ladies, why don't you come back up? We'll sing one more for you, and then we'll continue on with the service. Thank you.
Bible to Romans 15. We'll go to chapter 15, book of Romans, and put yourself in the shoes of one who has been on the road since the end of May, all of June, July, been in 40 different churches, sung how many different songs, and they just finished their last one for the summer. So there's nobody happier in this building right now than those ladies right there. It's done. Daniel Hudson, good to see you here tonight. I don't know why Daniel would come all this way just to be in this service. I guess he just wanted to see us at Faith Baptist, right? So, but good to see Daniel here. His dad's coming to preach for us at Missions Conference. There's just a short while. That'll be a blessing having Brother Matt Hudson with us. If you're able to stand, you found it. Let's stand together in honor of God's Word. I'm going to begin reading chapter 15, verse 5. Now, the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice in verse 6, with one mind and one mouth. And I want to speak tonight on the church choir. The church choir. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we appreciate the good music tonight. It's been a blessing to our hearts. Thank you, God, for these friends, for these dedicated ladies. I pray that you'll bless them as they continue on pursuing your will. I pray that, God, you'll give us a good time in your word now. Help us to come with an open heart. And I pray, God, that you will open our eyes, that we can behold wondrous things from this passage. Be with my voice, my tongue, my words. Fill both speaker and listener with your Holy Spirit unction. And Lord, may your message, the message you've chosen for this moment, may it get across to our hearts tonight and help us. And we'll be careful to thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please keep your Bible open to that passage. One of the elements of our church's ministry that many people miss right now is the church choir. And we are going back to having our choir sing in both of the services. So those of you who sing in the choir, keep your voices sharp and in tune, and we'll get back to that sooner, hopefully, rather than later. It's amazing to me that 35 to 40, sometimes more than that, people can stand together and make a song sound as if it's coming from one mouth. Now, that takes practice. It takes a lot of practice, but good choirs make that happen. 40 voices, 40 different mouths, some singing soprano, some singing alto, some singing tenor, some singing bass, some trying to do one of the four, all right? But the words are pronounced and accentuated as if it were just one voice. I did a little research earlier this week, and one music teacher, he wrote about the characteristics of a good choir, and I'm quoting from his research paper. Now, this is what he said. I quote to you, "I have heard some spectacularly good amateur and professional choirs, and they all have one thing in common. They seem to think with one brain." Now, think about that. Let's hope in a 40-voice choir that they choose a good brain to think with. Amen. But they seem to think with one brain. He continues by saying, "I think this is much more important than each member having a beautiful voice. In fact, much of the richness of a choir comes from the different textures of voices blending well." Now, you summarize what I just read to you by this man who wrote about what he called spectacularly good choirs, and you come up with this: one mind, one mouth. One mind, one mouth. And that's what Paul wrote about in Romans chapter 15, verse number 6. You see it there. He says, "To a church, that ye may with one mind and one mouth." Now, in all that we, and when I say we, I'm talking about American Christians, in all that we are facing these days, something evidently is going on that I did not see coming. There is a fallout from all of the virus stuff and all the politically motivated social justice stuff that's out there. There's a fallout that I did not consider as a potential hazard to our churches. But, I mean, I could think of the ones that I knew of. I knew the attacks from the outside would cause some churches some trouble. And our church got, the police department got called because we were, quote unquote, violating the governor's mandate. We got called on that. Other churches have experienced the same thing. I know over in Dwight, the state police drove through the parking lot a couple different times. So I figured that would happen. You think about that. We think about that as we have Vacation Bible School. How is the community going to look at us? And thankfully, it's been pretty positive, to be honest with you. I knew the attacks from the outside would create a degree of fear in some people. And it has. It's created a degree of fear in some people. Just about every pastor I talk to, in fact, every pastor I've talked to, not everybody in the church has returned. And some are living in fear. I figured that would happen. And I knew the attacks from the outside would deter a church from establishing momentum in some parts of ministry. People said, "Brother Angel, how's the church doing?" And, I said, "You know what? We seem to be doing okay. I don't think we have any momentum. It seems like we come, we go, You know, sometimes it's kind of in a daze. Maybe that's just me, or that's the perception that I got. I'm not complaining. We're out of our norm. We're in a big gymnasium. We're not in our church auditorium, and we're not in our usual mode of ministry in some ways. But I knew that would happen. And in truth of the matter, folks, I'm very thankful for how this is going with everything going on in the outside world right now. What I did not see coming is what I am hearing from men as I listen to their phone calls or hear them tell the stories in person. Statements like, this is causing division in our church. Statements like, this has created a real divide between groups of people in our church. Statements like, there is backbiting, there's griping, there's finger pointing among some of our members. Statements like, I have people mad at me because I chose to do this or made that decision. And people, when I hear things like that, I realize a danger is lurking that could wreck more damage to Faith Baptist Church than any virus or politically charged situation. And that's because Jesus basically said, and I'm not quoting now, I'm paraphrasing, but the Lord Jesus Christ said, any entity divided against itself shall not stand. He said that about nations. He said it about kingdoms. And I don't remember all the quotes from the Gospels. He might have included another entity in there, but you can see how that would apply to a local New Testament church. And that's one of the reasons the Holy Ghost had Paul take his pen and write to the church at Rome. When I'm talking about the church at Rome, I'm not talking about the Catholic Church. I'm talking about the church to whom this epistle, this letter was written. And he wrote them and he came to the end of the epistle and he talked to the church about having one mind, one mouth. He said, church, you need to operate like a choir. You need to think alike, and you need to be saying the same things. That's what he's talking about here. Now, we have to get the context of the passage because it helps our ability to make this more personal. This is first century A.D., okay? This is about A.D. 58, 59, so we're less than 30 years after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And there is a culturally incredible occurrence that is taking place. Jews, and I've talked to you about this before, but Jews and Gentiles were walking into the same places and they were worshiping the same God together. They were singing together. They were fellowshipping together. They were giving together. They were serving together. And people, you have to understand, side by side, people who previously had very little, if nothing, to do with each other, were now drawn together through their faith in Jesus Christ. It's a phenomenon. It really is. And this did not happen without bumps. It did not happen without hurdles that had to be overcome when you put those two culturally different groups of people together. And Paul, in chapter 14, just dealt with some of those bumps and hurdles that the first century churches were facing. I've told you before, the Jews, they had been fastidious about observing their holy days. They had been fastidious about not eating meats that had been offered to idols. They considered that paganism. And now they were assembling together with Gentiles who thought those observances were ridiculous. They were not worshiping a false god when they ate a piece of pork that had been sanctified at a pagan temple. They were just hungry and pork chops sounded good. That's all they were thinking about. And they had even thanked God for the pork chop. And so you've got all this stuff going on now as these folks are coming together in a church service. And some of the members of the church at Rome, they were making an issue one way or the other about the holy days and about what people were eating. And other people were saying, man, relax, just settle down. It's no big deal. He just talked about that in chapter 14. Then you come to chapter 15. Look at what he says in verse number 1. He says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Look at the last phrase. We get caught up in the first phrase, but look at the last one. And not to please ourselves. Church is not a place to please yourself. It's not what church is for. Not about pleasing yourself. Look at verse number 2. He says, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. You understand, church? What my objective as a member of this church should be, my objective as a member of this church should not be to please myself. My objective should be to please Brother Payne so that he can continue to grow in grace. And to please this brother and that sister and that young person and this married couple. And I'm not talking about compromising on doctrine. Holy days and meats were not doctrinal issues. No, sir. No, I'm not talking about compromising on doctrine. I'm talking about in things that are pretty important to us, but really in the long run, don't matter to a hill of beans. In chapter 15, verse number 3, he says, for even Christ pleased not himself. What's he saying? He said, hey, church, Jesus is your example. He didn't please himself. What did he pray in the Garden of Gethsemane? Father, not my will, but thine be done. Verse number 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So we need to learn from what's written previously about this. So that's where we are in this passage. And then we come to verses 5 and 6. And I want to give you tonight some thoughts about this matter of the church choir. One mind, one mouth. Number one, let me say this. There are still issues that can be divisive in a local church. Still. We're not divided over holy days. We're not divided over meats. But there are different opinions on all that is going on. You know, people feel pretty deeply about this matter of mask wearing. They feel pretty deeply both ways. They feel so deeply about it, they're fighting. Fist fights. In local retail stores and throwing people on the ground. Personally, now, this is me. I don't mind if you wear a mask. I don't mind that. I don't wear one. I don't like them. I don't think it's healthy for me to breathe my own exhaust. I learned a long time ago, man, you breathe the exhaust out of your car, you die. So I've avoided that because I want to live. And I just, you know, I don't wear a mask. The other day I tried to go into Farmer Fleet and I walked in and this employee of Farmer Fleet was standing there and he took a baseball bat and he said, you can't come in this store without a mask on. What's the matter with you? I said, Larry, calm down, calm down. No, he didn't have a baseball bat. I'm just kidding. He saw me come in, he felt terrible. He said, oh, no. And I said, well, Larry, you know what? Over here at Lowe's, they don't make you wear a mask. And I turned around. That's just me. I'm not trying to be, what do you call it? I'm not trying to be combative. I don't like wearing a mask. But you know what? If you want to wear one, wear a mask. People are fighting about it. Getting in fist fights. Throwing each other on the ground in retail. That's real healthy. It's crazy. And so I'm just saying these things are still very, very, you know, these things that are still out there. You know, people make an issue over vaccines. People are making issues about, are we going back to school? And listen, you know, I've had people walk in and ask me here prior to a service. They walk in with a mask and they look around and, you know, pretty much nobody's wearing a mask. And is anybody going to be offended because I wear a mask? And I thought, what a silly question to have to ask at church. If you want to wear a mask, wear one. Put it on. You're not going to bother me. It doesn't bother me. I'm not. But folks, I'm talking about, this is the things we're talking about. Look, there always has been, there are now, and there always will be issues. Controversial issues going on in life that people have different opinions on that you really don't find a Bible text to develop a doctrine about that could cause division. And evidently, that's what's happening in some churches as I field these questions. And I just want to say, prior to it getting ugly here, we don't want that to happen. If you're like me, you don't think anybody ought to wear a mask, don't wear one. But don't you dare make somebody who walks in here with a mask feel uncomfortable. That's not right. If you have an opinion, keep it to yourself, like I just did. You know, I didn't tell anybody. Yet. No. You know, in 30 years here as pastor, we've only had to dismiss one family from the membership here. And that was not over immorality. It was over the fact that they continually caused division. Continually. I mean, just continually snipping and biting and grr and grr and grr and always getting on people because they felt strongly about things. Look, if you don't want your little bambino to wear a diaper, fine. But you don't put anybody else on a guilt trip because they use a pamper. Amen. And if you don't ever want to use any formula to feed the baby, that's fine. But don't fuss at some who do. Feed the baby. I don't care how you do it. Feed the baby. And if you don't like beards, so what? Until the ladies start wearing them, we're not going to have a problem around here. Amen. I mean, seriously, folks, you've got to be kidding me. There always has been, there always will be, there is right now, evidently, division being created by this stuff, the silly stuff like wearing a mask. And so here it is, number one tonight, there are still issues that can be divisive in a local church. There were back then, there are today. Number two, God grants us graces to be used to avoid division. Now look at verse number five. He says here, now the God of patience and consolation grant you. I like that word grant. You know, something given to be used for your advantage. Here's a student graduated from high school. They're going to go to college. A lot of times they'll try to get a grant. Some of the kids that have gone down to KCC have gotten grants. And that grant is to be used for school tuition for their advantage. And the Bible says that God has granted us some graces to be used in the area of church unity for our advantage. What are those graces that He's granted us to have? Look at it again in verse 5. Patience and consolation. Patience is cheerful endurance. And consolation is comfort and encouragement. Now, let me ask you a question tonight, church. Does God use any of those graces in His relationship to us? All the time. I've said before, if God took us to the woodshed every time we deserved it, that would be our address. 101 Woodshed Lane. But God has patience with us. And God has consolation. And He offers comfort. And He offers encouragement. And you know what? The God who exercises patience and consolation with all of His children has granted to us those same graces to be used toward one another. That's why I don't have a problem. If you want to wear a mask, wear it. Wear it. I'm going to make an issue over that. That's ridiculous. Look, the United States of America is as divided a country right now as it ever has been in my lifetime. It is as divided as it ever has been, and I think that's a plan. This is not the first time we've been divided. But the division is out front. It's public. It's available for you and me to see. It's available for me and you to hear. We can see it. And the division has digressed to vitriol and hatred and just ugliness. And you know what God says to the local church? No. That should not find its way into the local church. You're going to have hatred and ugliness over a mask, over a vaccine, over taking temperatures. Pastors, you know, I decided to move outdoors and people are mad that we're meeting outdoors. Then we move indoors and people are mad that we're meeting indoors. What are we doing? Why are we divided? Why is there division in the local church? You know, folks, you got to be careful. You got to be careful. I got to be careful. You know, there is one family in our church that has grown up here in the black culture. That's Larry Johnson and his wife and children. You got to be careful. You got to be careful that you don't throw all the black people in the world under the bus. Have you seen the pictures of those idiots out in Seattle? A lot of them are white. They're white, baby, spoiled, rotten, young 20 and 22-year-olds. They need to have their diaper changed. It's pitiful. And I'm not in agreement with the black crowd who wants me to make payment for something my great-great-great-great-grandfather might have done. I'm not kowtowing to that. But I'm saying, we'll tell you something. When it comes to race in a New Testament church, we better not digress into all this nitpicking with each other. That while the world is, that the world's raising Cain about that right now, and it's for the cause of causing division in our country, and it's working, but may it never find its way inside the walls of a local New Testament church. Somebody sent me a clip of a black man today. I'm telling you, I watched it. Ben, it was actually Ben sent it to me. He said, listen to what this guy said. Man, he just went on and on about kneeling against for the national. I'm not for kneeling during the national anthem. I don't think that's the place to protest. I don't think at all. I think you respect the flag. And boy, there are some individuals that are standing. But I'm going to tell you something. You can't just throw the whole group under the bus because a crowd of them is kneeling during the flag, the national anthem. Amen and amen, amen. Why are we taking temperatures? Why are we not taking temperatures? Why are we meeting in the parking lot? Why aren't we meeting indoors? Why do we do this? Why are we doing this? Stop it! Stop it! I'm not saying it's happening here. So far, it hasn't happened here. And that's the blessing of standing up and preaching a message like this. I'm not preaching to try to correct it already feeding its way, you know, in a disease through the church. Preventative medicine, preventative maintenance. Somebody has to make the decisions. And you know what the truth of the matter is, folks? As pastors, we don't have any model to follow in this. We have no model to follow. We've never experienced anything like this before. People are upset with their pastors and their deacons. We should be doing this. We should be doing that. Biting and devouring one another. That's a great testimony for the world to see. You know, there should be a verse in the Bible. There really should be. Maybe we'll talk to the Lord about it when we get there someday. Father, why did you leave out the verse? By this shall all men know that you belong to a Baptist church, that you're fighting and feuding with each other. Come on. Why is this, folks? It's nonsense. No, look, members of an assembly should take the patience and the consolation that God grants them and that God uses with them and use that same patience and that same comfort and that same encouragement with each other. Would you ever question that man's commitment to Faith Baptist Church? He brings his family in here, the only black family in this church, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. Go to a black church and be the only white family there. Amen, Brother Angel. That's right. Yes, sir. I don't want that stuff here. I don't want that started. I don't want that started. Not one thing. That's not right. That is not patience. That's not consolation. And it would include using them toward people who have to make the decision. So Paul said, hey, God has granted us graces to be used that will avoid division in your church. All right? Now, number three, and this is the one that's going to nail us, mind must be engaged before mouth. Look at the order in verse number 6. That ye may with one mind and one mouth. What is first, church? How many times do we reverse the order? And by the way, this causes division not in just churches. This causes division in marriages. This causes division in families. There is no thought process engaged before the mouth is moving. Think of your marital conflicts. You have had one or two, haven't you? Nobody's saying amen. You don't want to say amen, right? But think of your marital conflicts, how many of them could have been avoided by thinking before speaking. How many? I'm more ashamed of this than I am glad for it. We've had a school here since 1995. I believe it was. Is that right, Brother Hallberg? 95. And we've had sports every year. And all these years, I've only been tossed out of a game one time. Brother Bragg, I just saw you go. I didn't get just tossed I didn't just get a technical. I got thrown out of the gym. Thrown out. It was in Gays, Illinois. It wasn't a very gay evening. Gays, Illinois is down here by what, Mattoon, that area somewhere. And we were playing Jeff Fugit's school from Lexington. And it was back when Ben was on the team, and of course I was there, and it was a tournament. And one end of the gym had a nice basket, and the other end of the gym had a basket where the rim was cockeyed, and there was like a 40-watt light bulb over it. It was redneck as redneck could be. And the first half, Clay's Mill was shooting at that basket. We were shooting at the good basket. We got a 20-point lead. We had a good team. We had a 20-point lead. And then after halftime, we switched ends of the floor. Now we're shooting at that other basket. And they come all the way back from 20 points down, and they go in the lead. But that wasn't the big issue. The issue was the referees were both, they were overweight. And honestly, I think they got together before the game and decided, you're going to take that half of the court, I'm going to take this half. And they literally only worked like one half of the court. Now, you guys that play basketball, you know what referees are supposed to do. So this guy's, we're right here. We're sitting right in, he's way overweight. He's sweating like crazy, and he's walking. He never goes past the half court line. Never. And then he comes down here, and he's down here, you know. Our lead is gone, and, you know, we're down here shooting at this dumb basket, and he blows his whistle and calls a foul from here under the basket. Here. There's a guy standing down there. And, you know, and I said to him, why don't you try running? And he said, do you want to go outside? And I forgot all about Romans 15:6. And I said, with you. And then he just, and then he started grabbing for his whistle. And that poor lady was sitting next to me. And I said, I'm out of here. You're out of the gym. Kick out of the gym. The whole game stops. Pastor Angel gets up. What am I going to do? Walks out of the, you know. I walked by our boys and I said, take it to them, boys. And I walked out of the gym and the game was tied at end of regulation and we won it in overtime because we got to shoot at the good basket for overtime. That was the only reason we won. So, but I never will forget standing out there and people all around, and people are just kind of walking by looking at you. You're the guy who got thrown out of the gym. You're the guy who got, this guy got thrown out of the gym. This thing, I'm standing there, oh. And I made her a promise. That'll never happen again. It embarrassed the fire out of her. She could have got up and gone out with me. She'd probably been felt better, but she stayed. She stayed. I made her a promise I'll never do that again. And whatever year that was, I think it was the year that Ben was a senior. That would have been 2001. So it's been 18 years, 19 years, and I haven't got tossed out of another game. I've never even got a technical in those years. Now, it's a little bit fun to talk about it now, but I want to tell you something. Back then, it was humiliating. You know why I got in trouble? I reversed the order. I opened my mouth before I engaged my brain. The church, look, well, people ought to be big enough to handle things. Maybe you ought to be smart enough to engage your mind before you open your mouth. Why do you always put the burden on the other guy? Well, they shouldn't have got offended. Maybe you shouldn't have said what offended them. That's what he's saying here. He's saying, church, look, you got to, with one mind and one mouth, be together. You know, how many times in the book of Acts, that wonderful church that was exploding in growth there in the city of Jerusalem, and you read over and over and over again, one accord, one accord, one accord. And a synonym for the word one accord is like-minded. One-minded. Look, we're not all going to agree on do we wear a mask or do we not wear a mask. Do we take a temperature or do we not take a temperature? We're not all going to agree on that. But you know what we can do? We can keep our opinions to ourselves. Don't have to make an issue out of it with anybody. Or temperatures or anything else. Vaccines, whatever. You know, we're going to start school. We're just going to have school. And you know, we're not going to make our kids wear a mask in the classroom. I just don't see that's good teaching technique. I don't know. I don't know how you get that done. We are going to take temperatures. I don't want my kids' temperature taken. Fine. Teach them at home. We're going to take their temperature when they come in. They have over 100.4. We're going to call you up. Say your kid's got a temperature. Well, I don't like that. I can't help it. Somebody's got to decide what's going to happen. You can't just flip a coin and say, well, you know, let's... No, no, no. Somebody's got to think it through. Now, I don't want to see things like that. This is what I'm talking about. I could see that churches would be attacked from the outside. I could see that church ministries might suffer with a lack of momentum because things just aren't... I could see some things happening. But pastors making phone calls saying, I've got trouble over a mask? How silly. Well, I think you should go to a church where everybody has to wear a mask. You probably can find one. You probably can find one. But somebody's got to make the decision. We're not going to make the children wear masks in the classroom. We're not. And if they have a fever, they go home. That's the way it's always been. Whether it's corona or measles or mumps or whatever. You got a fever, you go home. Mind must be engaged before mouth. If you have an opinion, you know, somebody asks you your opinion, express it. But when you begin to express your opinion in a way that attacks somebody else, your brain is not working. Amen. There's a way to respectfully disagree. Respectfully disagree. Number four, I'll be done. The church choir glorifies God. Look at verse number six again. With one mind and one mouth. He's not talking about the church choir that sings. What he is talking about is the adults of the church being like-minded and engaging that mind and thinking about what they say to each other and practicing consolation and practicing patience with each other, the same graces that God extends to them, extending that to each other. And what is one of the purposes of the New Testament church? Well, one of the purposes, yeah, I think about the purpose is evangelizing sinners and edifying saints and exalting the Savior. And when you have a church that's like-minded in one accord, that has the ability and the character to take these potentially divisive issues and think before they speak, and they come to church together, they may not agree on every little issue that's going on in the world with the virus, with the political situation, but for the church service, the minds are engaged before the mouth, consolation and patience are extended to each other, and God says, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. I can hear the sopranos. I can hear the altos. I can hear the tenors. I can hear the basses. There's how many people? But they're all one mind. And they're all one voice. And church, I'm coming to you tonight to say that we need to be, in the eyes and ears of God, a great big church choir when it comes to these potentially divisive issues, and not allow Satan to get his foot in the door over something as insignificant as a piece of cloth wrapped around your mouth. Dear God, help us. You've got to be kidding. If that's not petty and childish, I don't know what is. And you heard my opinion. I don't wear them. That's me. You want to wear them? Wear them. Other issues we may not agree on, think line by line, jot tittle, you know what I'm saying? Those little things. It don't matter. What matters is that sinners get evangelized. What matters is that saints get edified. What matters is that the Savior gets exalted. And that glorifies God. That's like a big church choir. I'm not talking here about standards. I'm not talking here about doctrine. I'm talking about divisive, potentially divisive issues. Some of which I've mentioned tonight, but I haven't covered the whole gamut. Let's have consolation. Let's have patience. Let's have encouragement. Let's have comfort with each other. Let's treat each other like God treats us. Amen. I don't want to have to call Pastor Larry Brown and say, preacher, he texted me about a month ago. And I texted back, we're in a mess. And I got this long text back. Terry, I'm over here so-and-so, but I'll drop what I'm doing and I'll come to your church right now. What can I do to help you? He thought I was talking about our church was in a mess. So I had to explain my text. No. I'm not talking about the church. I'm talking about our country. Oh, he texted back. He said, I was ready to come help you. I said, I know you would, without a shadow of a doubt. I don't have to call Brother Brown and say, hey, remember when we were laughing about that mess? Now it's in the church. That should not happen. That should not happen. If we're all exercising consolation and patience with each other in these times. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray that you'll please bless us tonight. God, please help us to be people that will read passages like this and put it to heart. We're so quick, Lord, to be excited about all the issues that excite us. Social issues, that abortion and homosexuality, we can all holler amen and take stands against. But Lord, those things really aren't potentially a real danger to our church, but backbiting is, and division is, and an ugly spirit is. God, I pray that you'll help us as your people to take this passage to heart in these days. And Father, only you know the future. It may get worse before it gets better. I don't know. And we'll have to make decisions and we'll move forward in your will, hopefully being obedient to you. And God, I pray that you'll help us to engage our brain before we engage our mouth and be careful to be a part of that choir, that one mind, one voice that brings glory to God. Father, help us with that, I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I don't expect you to raise your hand tonight, but church, you take it to heart. If you have been getting ugly in your spirit towards others about what they do or don't do when it comes to these issues that we're facing today, then let God speak with you tonight. Is it really worth it to cause division in a church over whether or not we take temperatures or wear a mask? May God help us keep our focus directed on those things that bring glory to God. One mind, one mouth, that beautiful church choir. If you're not saved, now's the time to get saved. Why wouldn't you get saved tonight? If God speaks to your heart, you obey the Lord. Let's stand together, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and our music begins for an invitation tonight. You let the Lord speak to your heart. Let Him deal with you about it. Don't get ugly. Don't get nasty. It's very easy to, if you're not careful, be of one mind, one mouth in this matter of a New Testament church moving forward for the glory of God. The glory of God. I don't preach tonight trying to correct a problem. I preach tonight to prevent a problem. You let the Lord speak to your heart tonight as He wills. You mind Him, obey Him tonight. One mind, one mouth, in that order. Thinking alike, speaking alike for the glory of God. Not allowing little things, insignificant things in the long run to divide us and tear us apart. Heavenly Father, thank you for a good day at church. Thank you for the services this morning, the service tonight. Lord, please, please put your hedge of protection about our church. Lord, not just from the virus, the sickness, but Lord, keep us, please, from biting and devouring and consuming each other over foolish things. We'll thank you in Jesus' name and amen.